in America too. She's a good girl, is crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too. And it's a long day living in Reseda. There's a freeway running through the yard, and I'm a bad boy, 'cause I don't even miss her. I'm a bad boy for breaking her heart.
I have a feeling there are witnesses to Pierre LeBrun singing this loud and clear on top of a jukebox somewhere in North America.
Pierre LeBrun on Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Poker Palace, next to Morella's Restaurant on Route 132, poker-palace.ca.
Every Tuesday and Thursday after 6 from TSN and RDS. How you doing, Pierre?
I'm not all right. This has been a tough week for everyone, has it?
Yeah.
Obviously, the man he just had playing, leaving us, but certainly the tragedy in Vegas, first and foremost, still, I think, hanging over a lot of us. It's just, you go on and you go on with your daily life, but it's still mind-numbing to me.
Yeah, and that's the real true sadness of it, is that it's no longer shocking. It just, it numbs you every time, because,
yeah.
Right? Because...
It still breaks your heart when you hear some of the stories.
I mean, my goodness! I can't even process it. The poor Canadian dude, right? A barmaid was holding his hand for hours while his girlfriend is calling and saying I just talked to him. They were separated, and so many stories like that. It's just ugh.
But you know, Mitch, I promised myself I can't re-engage on the gun control debate in America after nothing was done following Sandy Hook.
Right.
I mean, if that's going to go, I mean, there's not that age should matter, but when young kids are getting, you know, killed in a school and it doesn't change the gun control in that country, I give up.
Yeah. Sean Payton weighed in today, the coach of the Saints, and we'll get to that a little later, but he's had it up to here. He lost a player a year ago. And
right.
And I don't know if you saw Jimmy Kimmel's monologue last night. That was beyond compelling. He was close to falling apart. You know, he's a native of Las Vegas, and he just threw the pictures up of every politician who's been bought by the NRA.
Right.
And he's other late night show hosts have become the conscience of America, basically.
Yeah. The crazy gun people are still a minority, except their minority was so much fervor for what they believe in that they're more powerful than anyone, really, when it comes to pulling the strings. It certainly seems that way anyway. I'm no political expert, but that's my view from the outside looking in.
Did George Parris live in Vegas? Who am I thinking of?
I think he lived there. Yes, he lived there last year while he was, and I know that when he was announced as Stephane Cantel's replacement, I happened to be in the NHL office that day in New York, and his plan was to move to New York, given the job, but I believe he lived in Vegas last year.
Yeah, because when he officially retired, we had him on. You know, he's such an engaging guy. And
than a year, yeah.
Yeah, I seem to recall that he was calling us from Vegas. And if anybody was wondering how George Parris would react, he's now the new top cop in the NHL safety. Man, he stuck it to Tom Wilson here today.
Yes, he did. And I thought that was a pretty strong message. Now, I know every time I say that, there's someone that's going to come out and say, should have been 10 games. But I deal in reality, not in let's sit down and pretend that we're in charge of discipline for a day. And I thought that was a pretty strong message. These are four regular season games. You know, the puck hasn't dropped yet. And Tom Wilson, who is a top nine player, right, for the Caps, he has talent. The Caps are counting on him more than ever, really, after the offseason defections as their team transitions. And that was an unacceptable hit on Samuel Blythe, the young rookie who was sent down. And listen, when Perro's got the job, and we'll see. I mean, the guys start with this gig, and they have great intentions, and then there's so much, you know, political pressure. Who knows? But I'm telling you, we sat in his office. I think it was me and Nick Consonica, Steve Wino, and Elliot Freeman sitting in office with George Perro the day he got announced, and he said, "I'm going to be tougher on plays that I believe have nothing to do with hockey." So that's a grab ball in a way, right? I mean, right. That can be all kinds of different things, but I think that's an example right there today.
Yeah, Tom Wilson suspended for... He had just been suspended last month, right? In preseason.
That's part of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you can't get the message in training camp, more or less meaningless games, I mean... So, yeah, I'm with you on this. That's a good start. We'll see, of course, for the first general manager who squawks about his player,
mm-hmm.
if that has a drip-drip effect by the time we get to the meeting.
And I'm not, listen, I'm not saying this because Brendan Shanahan ended up president of one of the more famous sports franchises in sports. But don't pretend that the guys that do this job, and Stephen Cantal has been, you know, I think pretty open about the fact he'd like to work in an NHL front office one day. There are long-term aspirations, I think, of the guys who do this job, right? Brian Burke did this job. That's exactly the great pressure point, I think, to have this job is you're going to end up angering potentially a future employer if you do this job for a few years. I mean, that's the reality of it, but you have to do it. You have to find your resolve and trying to toe the line, keep your standard up and believe in yourself and hope that as angry as a GM might be or a coach may be with you that day, that 3 weeks later he'll respect you for sticking to your guns.
Well, it's like former players who enter a television studio and have to analyze and express opinion, holding back because they want to get another job. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why we love the old dog. He does not hold back, no matter who he's talking about.
Yes, but he has already planned the Stanley Cup route, has he not, for Yonge Street?
Well, I tell you, I'm not picking the Leafs to win the Cup this year, but I am picking them to finish second in the Atlantic ahead of the Montreal Canadiens.
Way to go, Pierre. That's our boy.
So it's hard to ignore what's happening here in Toronto. I got to tell you, they got so lucky with not having injuries last year, and I think that's going to come back to normal this year. They're going to have more injuries, but they also have more depth. I mean, you know, the fact that they can send Kapanen back to the Marlies.
Yeah, we just had that discussion on the air late last week, right, Mitch Gallo? We were talking about the Leafs, and you said Kapanen's not even going to make it. I see he's a fourth-line guy. He's an NHL-quality guy.
He's at least a third-line player on most teams, I think. Yeah. But, you know, they go out and sign Marlowe, and they were already deep at forward. So it really smells of two things. Either, A, they know, like the rest of us, they're not going to be as lucky with injuries this year, so now they have the depth to deal with it. But, B, it sets up perhaps a more pertinent transaction at some point over the next few months to address their top four on defense.
Well, when you say that, you know the two names that everyone's going to point to.
No, fill me in.
Well, I'd guess the two names, and one obviously would garner a lot more attention on the trade front, but James Van Riemsdyk and Tyler Bozak.
Yeah, those are possibilities. I mean, Kapanen himself, I guess, if a team was looking more long-term. You know, the Leafs don't want to move any of these guys, but again, no one's hiding the fact that they tried hard to get Travis Hamonic at the draft in Chicago. Struck out, Calgary ends up with them. So the fact that they tried that hard tells you the truth, that they know they have a hole there. I mean, they filled it for now with Ron Hainsey starting the year as on the top pairing with Morgan Rielly. I don't know if that has season-long sustainability in my mind. Hainsey had a great playoff, and he certainly parlayed that in this gig, but I think at 36, that's a lot of minutes for him to play with Morgan Rielly. I thought you would start with Drew Doughty, Mitch. I thought that would be the name that you were going to throw at me. And let's have fun with it. Drew Doughty has 2 years left on his deal. He himself started this narrative, in my mind, when he went on our sister station in Toronto in the spring on Leafs Lunch and talked about how so many players from Ontario dream of being a Leaf. I'm just saying. I mean, that's what he did. And at the same time, he has maintained several times since then that he's happy in Los Angeles and can't imagine being anywhere else, so it's important to point that out. But he has 2 years left on his deal, and I guess this is the one thing I would ask you. If the Kings miss the playoffs again this year, which is certainly, to me, it's a 50-50 proposition with them. I think they're a bit better this year, quick, as healthy, Kopitar looks rested and healthy, so I think they're going to be better than last year. But what does that mean? But let's say they miss out. Doughty goes into the offseason 1 year out, and you know if you're Rob Blake, you're not letting that dangle into next year. I know the Islanders are with Tavares right now, but it's not what you should do. I mean, you really need to try and iron this out either way. If you're Doughty, do you sign long-term because you just love the lifestyle and you think that the Kings will turn it around, or do you force the issue? And, you know, I think that question is unanswered right now.
Has a lot changed in philosophy with the Kings since the general managing change?
I mean, listen, I think Rob Blake is his own man. Sure, he came under the tutelage of Dean Lombardi and has a ton of respect for him, but he has his own ideas. I see in Rob Blake a lot of what I see in Steve Yzerman. I think this is a guy that wants to put in the work, a great communicator. I think he's going to do nice things there in L.A. It's just not going to happen overnight. He inherited a roster that has some bad contracts.
Some age.
He's trying to work in some young guys this year. So it's going to take time. I don't think we're going to judge Rob Blake on his first 12 months on the job.
With Pierre LeBrun with us every Tuesday and Thursday after 6, Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. A reminder, the baseball game tonight, we will be joining it in progress after Oranges at halftime with Noel Butler at about 9 o'clock. So you say you're picking the Leafs to finish ahead of the Habs. I'm assuming you're picking Tampa Bay to win the division?
Correct. And you know the definition of insanity. I'm picking Tampa to win the Cup again.
Yeah, so. It's like San Jose.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
it's the Eastern version of San Jose.
Yeah. I had a few LAs in there, too, that did better for me.
Well, I don't remember them. I just remember San Jose.
Yeah. California, I picked lots of Anaheims. I think I picked Anaheim to win the Cup 2 years ago. They didn't. They went to the conference final. California picks are popular with me.
So, well, yeah, and we understand why you look forward to covering them out there. But do you have anybody else ahead of the Habs or just the Leafs?
No, just I have the Habs third in the Atlantic, yeah.
Yeah.
And part of it is I want to set up for the first time since 1979. Les Glorieux contre les Maple Leafs in the first round.
Do you imagine that?
Wow. Let's have it. We deserve it.
Yes, we do. We've waited long enough. These guys never saw that.
No, never have.
It wasn't even a series. It was a foregone conclusion. They just happened to meet for the first time.
Yeah, the Habs steamrolled them.
Yeah, it was four straight, and Tiger Williams ended the series in a penalty box. You can see it on YouTube. He went nuts. He almost attacked Bob Myers.
And it was Larry Robinson, I believe, that calmed him down.
It was. Larry Robinson scored the winning goal, and he physically restrained Tiger Williams from going after the official.
We never got to see it because the Leafs were in the Western Conference, and then when the Leafs moved to the East, they were bad for 15 years.
Yeah, and the Habs weren't exactly great either at the beginning of that either.
But you know what a terrific, really terrific all-time great songwriter said? The waiting is the hardest part. And when you finally get there, how good that feels.
Well, how about this, guys? What if it's Habs Leafs in the 2-3 in the Atlantic and it's Oilers Flames in the 2-3 in the Pacific? Can you take that? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
It's perfect.
Agreed.
So you like Calgary? You like Calgary better than some people, right? Some people like Winnipeg more than Calgary.
Well, they're in different divisions. I mean, I think the Jets might end up as a second wild card team out of the Central, but my top three in the Pacific is going to be Edmonton first. So I guess I'm contradicting myself. I'm going to go Edmonton first. Anaheim 2 and Calgary 3 in the Pacific.
Calgary beats Anaheim and then meets Edmonton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got that scenario. It's not happening, but I got it.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Well, it's plausible, sure. Slightly abstract, Pierre, but what would you say is the most important position for a hockey club in 2017? Like, would you want a center? Would you want a defenseman? Would you want a goalie? And has that changed over the last decade?
You know, I got to say, after watching what Duncan Keith and Drew Doughty have done over the last decade and preceding that, you know, the Nick Lidstrom Red Wings, I've been so brainwashed into thinking number one defenseman. But then the Penguins go out last spring and win a cup. I'm trying to be polite here, but with Chris Letang not playing, with the rest of that blue line.
There's nobody that I spoke to when Letang went down and we knew it was long-term who thought the Penguins could repeat without him.
So I don't know if that's just because Sidney Crosby is that much of a super being, or if the game has changed where, if you have a group of forwards that's that dominant and has that much puck control that it essentially harbors maybe your holes on defense. I don't know. I mean, heck, I know a lot of Leaf fans hope that's the case. I guess I'd say number one center would be the way to go. But, boy, that's a departure for me because number one D for the longest time is where I leaned.
So, which takes us, as we finish up with Pierre LeBrun, to the Canadiens, and we'll talk more on opening night when they open up in Buffalo in two nights from now. But their opening night number one centerman is Jonathan Drouin. A lot of debate about whether he can actually fill that role. I don't have the doubt about it for 82 games of regular season. I don't have, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't worry about that with him for the regular season. I've also seen him in the playoffs fill in for Steven Stamkos. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch with the puck this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. It's not one of my chief concerns either. I mean, there are going to be nights where we're going to nitpick and say he didn't pick up his guy, and then they'll freeze to a picture of Claude Julien, and he'll, you know, there'll be a face. But it's that guy right there, Claude Julien, who's going to really help Jonathan Drouin through this transition. And the fact of the matter is, if that top line is dominant, you know, it starts with Gallagher and Pacioretty right now, and who knows who the right winger will be as time goes on. But if that top line is dominant and spends more time in the offensive zone, you know, that in itself will take care of what we think of Jonathan Drouin as a top center in my mind.
And Victor Mete found out that he did make the team today. He's going to open up in Buffalo. The question is up in the air. Will he stay? But your thoughts on the fact that he is starting with them?
Yeah, he's earned the 9-game look. We'll see if it ends up being 9 games, and we'll see if it ends up being beyond 9 games. He has looked the part. I will tell you that the difference now between preseason and the real year starting is quite a step, and often you'll see these kids hit a wall during this 9-game stretch, which is nothing wrong with that. That's quite natural. It's easy for me to say because I'm not feeling the heat as Mark Bergevin probably is this year, but I would not want to see him rushed. I would give him the look-see and say, wow, what a camp, what a month you had with us, and we'll see you next year is what I would do. And now I understand the counter-argument to that. It invites the question, well, who's going to play in the top pairing, right? I get it. But for me, I just don't want to rush Victor Mete. I think the World Junior's back in. I think there's lots of great things ahead of him. I would give him, really, frankly, 8 or 9 games and then, you know, send him back to junior. I may change my mind in 8 or 9 games, but right now that's how I feel.
Pierre LeBrun, also no doubt part of the TSN season preview show. He's not part of the show. Oh,
no, Rod's shaking. I got the night off, so don't tell anyone. It's all good.
Okay, 8:30 tonight without Pierre LeBrun. Talk on Thursday on opening night.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
The vampires walking through the valley, move west down Ventura Boulevard, and the bad boys are standing in the shadows, and the good girls are home with broken hearts.
All the broken hearts out there. Alex Nesralla, a longtime listener of the show, big music guy. He's a musician himself and a music teacher. He texted us earlier in the show. Petty songs were emotionally honest, never overly clever in the best sense or flowery. No cheap sentimentality. He hit you where you lived without you noticing. As promised, Saints coach Sean Payton on America's gun laws.
Let's start from this standpoint. The current protocol is not working. you know, current system's not working. And the madness is when you go years and years and years and say, well, and so the current policies and thoughts are flawed. And we as, I believe this in my heart, we as society owe it to our children. And I mean, we have to be better that way. And I made my statements clear after the death of Will Smith, and these things come up and they come up, and then you try to draw parallels throughout our world, and look, it's hard to find other countries like that, and here we are as educated and smart and forward thinking as we think we are, and yet, you know, it's broken and it's obvious. So I'll leave it at that.
While it's never easy to predict the weather, there is one thing that is easy to predict. When it gets cold, all season time.